All right, let's get our Bibles out here, and sometimes I call it a shotgun sermon. I got a little bit of everything I'd like to say, but the Lord's kind of led it in one direction, and one passage of Scripture, and it's kind of almost a testimony as well as an admonition unto you all. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to look at a few verses in the Old Testament too, but I want to start with reading a couple verses here, And then I was going to title the message, Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself, but I don't know if that'll be the title or not, but we'll see here. But I just wanted to read two verses to start with here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now let's turn over to, let me find my passage here, Exodus. Let's turn back to Exodus here. And let's see here. Let's go to Matthew. We'll go to the New Testament verse of the Ten Commandments here. Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 43. The Bible says, Ye have heard that it had been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Then let's go to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 19. Matthew 19, 19. The Bible says here, honor thy father and thy mother, that thou shalt, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And let's look at another verse here in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. Matthew 22 verse 39. And the Bible says here, and the second is like, let's back up here to get the whole context here. Let's go to verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, we see here what he found out. The answer he got was basically God says, you love me and you love everybody as a neighbor. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about this. As we know on the street, as you men testify, people say God loves everybody, you know. And we know what the truth is there. That's been preached many times here. But we're going to talk about our responsibility as Christians, as believers, loving others and loving our family, loving God and loving others. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. And in this passage here, and I'm going to try to be concise as I can here, and I don't want to belabor any points here. But you know, the Bible is very clear. God is very clear. This comes from the Ten Commandments. He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself." And the Bible says it's the second commandment. And God is very clear that it is a command that we should love our neighbor. Now we say, well, why should we love our neighbor? You know, what's it, you know, they're heathen, they're wicked heathen. And you know, the Lord convicted me of some things in my own life here probably a few months ago now. And I had to repent, and I had an attitude of not wanting to be with difficult people or people I didn't agree with, you know, in my family or being around the heathen or talking to them. And I heard an unsaved lawyer of all people just say one phrase, and he was talking about in a courtroom how he would teach people how to be on the witness stand, and he would explain how they should react and respond to accusation, and it was really interesting. Like I said, a lost man, but he did actually quote the King James Bible a few times. But this man said, he said, you know what? We need to have the attitude that we don't want any harm to come to our neighbor. We don't want to have anything bad happen to our neighbor. He said, we should love them. And I kind of was taken back. You know, this man was definitely definitely not a Christian by his speech and everything. But it got me thinking, how could a lost man who's an attorney, how could he even preach and teach in his own way that we should love our neighbor? That we should not want any ill to our neighbor, want anything bad to happen to our neighbor. And I thought about that, you know, and sometimes in our hearts we think, you know what, if that guy tripped and fell, you know, that'd be a great thing, you know. That would be good. He gets what he deserves, or they were unkind to me, or they were mean to me, so I'm going to lash back at them. And you know, it's human nature, it's our human sinful nature that wants to get even, that wants to retaliate, that doesn't want to accept the reproach that might come upon us. But God commands us to love our neighbor just as much as he commands us, him above all, the first commandment, that we love him. But yet he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now you think about how much we love ourselves. Now we don't necessarily think about it, but the way we act, the way we live, many times we do think about ourselves and we do love ourselves very much. I mean, how many times would we deny something to eat that's been put in front of us that we love, our favorite thing, our favorite food, and we'd give it to somebody else, or being first, or being last instead of first, or giving a prized possession that we hold dear, giving it away to somebody else. You know, I thought about that. If the Lord asked me how much, if he were to say to me, Andrew, what would you give up for me? You know, I'm just thinking materially. I don't really have anything of great value. But, I've always heard somebody say the greatest gift is giving the thing that you hold the dearest. That's the greatest gift. And what did he give to us? His greatest gift was his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and to die in our place. He gave what was most dearest to him. He didn't give the second or leftovers. He gave the best. You know, it's hard for us as human beings to think about giving our best to somebody, especially a stranger. I remember hearing of a guy one time who he was talking to a fella, and I think this was in Minneapolis or St. Paul, and this man came over there, and he was an old friend that he knew from a long time before, and he said, sir, well, if you could have anything that you would want, what would you want? What would you ask for? And the man looked at this gentleman, and he said, I'd like to have your car. Okay? And this guy looked at him and he said, are you sure? And he said, yes. And this guy is a true story. I don't know if this man was a Christian or not, but he gave them his car. And then they made a big deal about it in the newspaper and everything. And I was thinking, you know, what would be the point of us giving something of great value to somebody else? Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Let's look at some other passages of scripture here. And let's look in Galatians chapter number John 14, I'm sorry. Let's look at John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What does it mean to love God? To love God. We're gonna just touch on this passage here for a minute, and then we'll keep moving on. John 14:15. The Bible says that when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I think I got the wrong. I'm sorry. I'm in Luke. John 14. Let's get in the right book here. John 14. All right. There we go. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. We know the greatest love that we can give God is to obey him and to keep his commandments and to serve him and praise him. John 15, verse number 10, says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. You know, we want to love God. We want God to be pleased with our love and accept our love to him. And he says right here that we can do that by obeying and obedience. Let's jump down to verse number 19. The Bible says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We realize that the world's going to hate Christ. The world hates Christ. The world's going to hate us. It's going to hate us the closer we get to God, the farther they're going to run from us, or they're going to embrace us and follow our God. But the Bible says here in the previous verses we read, love thy neighbor Who is our neighbor? Those are people next door to us. They're people, strangers we see out walking around in the stores or out in our workplace. But who is our neighbor? God commands us to love our neighbor. You know, I see this every day illustrated when I'm on the road, just probably like everyone here who drives on the road. And you see people's personalities and anger and everything else come out in their driving. And after a while, you see the depravity of man just on the highway, okay? But God wants us to love our neighbor, as hard as it may be to love our neighbor as ourselves. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to dwell on this for just a little while here. And I don't think I'm going to be that long tonight. And so we'll be out, probably get out early here. But 1 Corinthians 13, of course, we're to love our brethren. We're to love each other. But this passage of Scripture talking about charity. And charity is an interesting, let me find the definition here. And of course, a lot of times when we think of charity, people think of giving money to nonprofits or giving somebody a gift that they weren't expecting or whatever. And I can't find my definition here. Oh, well, it's somewhere in here. Anyway, but God wants us to be charitable. There's a reason why the King James Bible didn't use the word love, but used the word charity. And like I said, I had that right here, and now I can't find it. Oh, well. Anyway, you'll have to trust me on that. You can look up the definition in your Webster's 1828 dictionary. But charity, basically, charity is giving. Giving out of giving with expecting nothing in return is charity, is giving, is love. And, you know, that's hard to do as human beings, to do something and to work and sweat and toil and tears or whatever it may be, whether it's material, whether it's your time, energy, or whatever it is, and give and give and give and give and give. And then that person never gives back. But that's the greatest gift we can give. I mean, you think about it. Christ died for us on the cross. What could we give back him that would equal that sacrifice? There really isn't anything. I mean, the best we could do is filthy rags. The best we could do is just dirt on the ground. I mean, it's nothing. But yet God accepts, he accepts our love to him when it's done in obedience by faith. Chapter 13 again, we'll just read this passage. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, God is showing us here, he's showing us exactly what's going on with our charity, with our life. Like Solomon said, he said it's all vanity. He said if you do all these things and have all this wealth and all this riches and you live your entire life and you come to the end of your life and that's all that you have to say for, he said it's all vanity. It's worthless. It's going into the ground. It's going to be burned up and burned in the fire. But here Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I like to think of that as someone with eloquent speech. We could have the best orator in the world who could get up and wax eloquent. But the Bible says here, if he doesn't have charity, he's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal to the Lord. You know, it's just a noise. I don't know if you ever heard a cymbal go off in a band or in a concert or something like that. It's a lot of noise. It's alarming. It's a lot of noise. Well, that's what it is to God. It's just a growling, a gnawing, horrible sound to God. Why? Because it's not done in charity. You know, I'd like my life, when I die someday, my life to count for Christ because I did things in charity. Let's look at verse number 2. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I mean, God is putting a huge value on charity. You know, and we're straight down the line. I mean, our church is straight down the line. We don't sugarcoat anything. And we give them the law, and we give it hard. But as we give them law, and as we give each, as we converse, and as we live as a church body and a church family, and as we communicate the gospel to our neighbors and to strangers and people in public and people at work, we got to remember this thing of charity. You know, we could be speaking. I remember somebody saying, I don't remember who originated the statement, but sometimes we speak so loud by what we do, people can't hear what we say. And you know, if we don't have that charity that comes from our a life of walking with God and having the Holy Spirit working in our lives, Paul says here, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Man, I give everything away. Boy, look at me. I give all my stuff to charity. He said it's going to profit me nothing if I don't have charity. Verse number 4, charity suffereth long. Now, these are the evidences, and these are what is charity. This is the description of charity. We're just going to look through these here real quick. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. You know, I think of that when we deal with our families, we deal with our spouses, we deal with each other in our church body here, we deal with our children. You know, and that's something God convicts me over all the time is suffering long with my children and having that charity that I need to have. Having charity towards maybe somebody at work who just rubs me the wrong way or whatever it is. Our human nature, if it's not controlled by the Holy Spirit, our charity is going to be non-existent. Charity suffereth long. How long can we suffer? Well, how long did Christ suffer on the cross? How long did he suffer? That's how long we need to suffer. We need to suffer reproach. Charity suffereth long and is kind. You know what? After somebody mistreats you, somebody would belittle you, accuse you, say all evil manner against you. Can you be kind back to them? Now that's true Holy Spirit living there, is when we can be mistreated and then give kindness back to them. And it's hard to do. It is really hard to do unless we're controlled by the Holy Spirit in our daily life. Well, the Bible goes on to say, charity envieth not. What is envy? Envy is the feel of uneasiness or discontent. To have a grudge or to have malice. Envy. You know what? We're not going to be envious of someone else. We're not going to be envious of a family member. Or we're not going to be envious of another brother or sister in Christ here in our church. When we have charity, you know, love is like the glue, you know, it's like the glue that holds everything together in our church body. You know, we can be forgiving of each other if we wrong each other, or if we mistreat each other accidentally or on purpose. You know what? That love covers a multitude of sins. And in our own homes, when we love each other like we should, when we have that charity and we treat each other like that, you know, we're going to have a lot more grace for each other, aren't we? We're going to have a lot of grace. When you know what, within our own selves, it's impossible. Because, you know, when I find myself violating these things in my own life, I don't have to look far in the mirror and realize that, you know what, I haven't been walking with God like I should. I haven't been getting the Holy Spirit power in my life as I should. And so it's very obvious to me. It's like I catch myself after the fact and think, man, I just messed up. I just did wrong. Why? Because I wasn't walking in the Spirit. I wasn't trusting this Holy Spirit to guide me. Charity vaunteth not itself. Vaunting is talking about boasting, showing off, or having pride. You know, we have charity towards one another. You know what? We're going to be humble to each other. We're going to come. We're all beggars coming to meet together and asking for crumbs from our Heavenly Father, from the Master's table. Why? Because we need to have lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind and humility, you know, is hard. Why? Because our human nature is pride. Our human nature wants to be proud, to be on top, so to speak, or to be noticed. So, what is charity? Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know, if you have a disagreement with somebody, or if you're having a tough time with somebody, you know what? Just be humble. You know, just bite your tongue and be humble. You know what? If it's somebody that I had to do this one time in a place of where I worked, I had to go to somebody that I kind of lipped off to, and I had to repent and go back and say, man, I'm sorry, I was way out of line. This is a lost person, right? And he just looked at me like, oh, hey, it was okay. You know, he was trying to tell me that I didn't have to say it, but I did. Why? Because the Lord convicted me. You know what? I don't need to be puffed up. What if that lost man, what if there's something that I did to help make him not want to hear the gospel? You know, that scares me half to death. And we're just human. We're going to make mistakes. I make plenty of them, and you make plenty of them too. But you know, just think about eternity and eternity. What's going to happen in eternity depending on how we show charity to someone else, to our neighbor? You know what, our neighbors, many times, a neighbor might be somebody we work with, might be somebody we live with, somebody who lives next to us, but we need to treat our love our neighbor as ourself. Verse number 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly, indecently. That word unseemly is talking about indecently. You know, charity should preach in our lives that we're not going to behave indecently with someone who we love, or to our neighbor, or to our fellow Christian. We're going to behave seemly, not unseemly. The Bible goes on to say, charity seeketh not her own. You know, charity is not looking to have the limelight. Charity is not looking to seek for her own glory. For us to seek for our own glory in our lives, and through our behavior, or through position, or whatever it may be. You know, I think that's one of the greatest attributes of that I learned from my mother, and I learn it as I see my wife as a mother. Is mothers are very unselfish. You have to be. A mother who wouldn't be unselfish would probably say, "Hey, ship the kids off to daycare. I'm getting a job. I'm going to get a job in the secular world." Why? It's the easy thing to do. You know, though they think it's easy, I should say, they think it's easy, but it really isn't easy. It's actually harder because you're going to pay down the road years and years later. You're going to pay for it. But yet God gives that grace, doesn't he? God gives that grace in the time of need to a mother. And you know what? Even as parents, boy, we got to give up things. We got to say, you know what, I'm going to deny myself this for the better of my family. I'm not going to do this because my family needs me. Or we need to use the money in a different way. And you know, I remember somebody asked me one time, a guy at work asked me, I was training him, he said, "What's your hobby?" And I thought, I don't know. Yeah, my hobby is going home to be with my family. And he looked at me like, "You got to be nuts," you know. And they're all looking for excuses to keep from going home. You know, they want to go out to the bar. They want to go, you know, go out with the guys, you know. But what is it? I forgot my point there, but it was good. What was I? Seeketh not her own. Right. Being selfless. Being selfless. And let's see what the next part of that passage is not easily provoked. You know, when there's somebody just pushing your buttons, and there's me, like I said, a neighbor. And, you know, I had to repent of this many a time at restaurants, you know. And we don't eat as much as we used to. But you go to a restaurant and some waitress is rude to you or somebody's rude to you at the cash register or something. And you just want to bite their head off, you know. You just want, at least I do. Maybe you guys don't have a problem with this, but just me. But you get lousy service or something and, you know, you're supposed to tip them. And you just don't want to tip them. I don't want to tip them to save my life. But what do we do? We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. I mean, it's the greatest act of love. I just, you know, even after studying just a little bit of this, why God would make that the second to the greatest commandment of loving himself, loving God first, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because I think God says that's where Christianity shines out. You know, we believe in lifestyle evangelism, not that you just smile at everybody and they drop on their knees and get saved. We got to speak to them, but yet our lives should back up what we preach, should back up what we believe. Our lives should be an evidence of it. They should be able to look in our window and they should be able to see what we preach by how we live. And that's where the rubber meets the road. And I believe God put that in there. He knew that we needed to be held accountable for our actions and we need to reflect Christ in all of our life. In every part of our life. So we're not, charity is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. You know, give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You know, somebody does you wrong or says something backwards or says something they didn't mean to say. Maybe they didn't realize they said it. You know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Say, "I love that brother. I love that sister. You know, I'm not going to get upset by that." You know, they probably didn't realize what they're saying. And if it's something that's ongoing, of course, you know, you need to go to them and bring it to their attention. But yet, we are so quick to be short with everybody else. And this is something the Lord teaches me all the time, my children. I get impatient with them. And I'm just scratching after I calm down, I think through it, I'm like, you know what? That God, you've had so much grace with me. All the times I should have been jerked around and God was gracious to me. He had mercy on me. All the things I deserve and all the punishment I deserve, and God didn't give it to me. You know, and I got to remember that, you know, when dealing with people, is, you know what, that would be, if God didn't have control of me, if I wasn't born again, you know what, I'd probably be just like a Tasmanian devil going around just ruining everything, you know, beating everything up. But yet God, in his foreknowledge, he knew that we needed to be accountable for our loving our neighbor. Let's see, verse number 6 here. Love or charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Boy, isn't that good that we can have the truth, the word of God here, and we rejoice in it. We don't just tolerate the truth. We rejoice in it. Why? That's the power into salvation. That's the power behind our life and behind what we believe. Behind the word of God is the truth, and the truth is found in the word of God. And in verse 7, charity beareth all things. You know what? We have a lot of burdens sometimes we bear that we can't tell anybody. You have burdens and you have things that you can't say to anybody. You know you can't, and God knows you can't. But you can cry unto your Heavenly Father. You can bring those burdens to Him. You know, charity beareth all things. You know, I just can't imagine what people, and many people go through it. Maybe some of you have gone through different situations in your life where you've had to put up with heartache in your own home, with children or with a spouse or with extended family, just heartbreaking events that have gone on, and there's nothing you could ever do to change it. And you bear that inside, and I think it's a good burden, but yet that charity will bear those things. The love you have for someone else. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, those wounds, boy, they're going to hurt, but they're faithful. Why? Because that's a true friend is going to be one that's going to tell you something you need to hear. It might be hard to hear. It might be a wound to you. But charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. You know, right now we see things on this side of glory. We see things through the light of Scripture on this side of glory. But I like that verse. It says there's a now and then there's a then. Look in that verse there, verse 11. Verse 12. For now, today we see through a glass darkly. We can't see everything. We can't know all knowledge. We can't see everything. But then face to face. Someday, face to face, we'll be able to understand these things. And now in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You know, someday things are going to make sense. We're going to understand all things that maybe why God did certain things and brought things into our life. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You know, God wants us to be one who suffers long. God wants us to be the one in our life for us to exercise charity towards one another. Let's turn over to Galatians 5 and verse 22 here. We're doing pretty good for time. Galatians 5 verse 22. How can we have the charity we need to have in our life? How can we have that? How can we all be ready to respond the right way, to love somebody the right way? You know, there's difficult people in our life that we have to respond differently to than someone else. Maybe somebody in our church, we can joke about certain things, but you have somebody outside our church that would not understand certain things, and they'd be like, whoa, what's that? You know, and I'm talking about truth. I'm talking about how we deal with people. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not talking about compromising because they're lost people. I'm talking about how we deal with people, how we talk to people. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. First fruit of the Spirit. What is fruit? Fruit is a natural byproduct of a healthy tree that's been planted, that has water, that has sunlight. And so the natural thing for a tree to bear is fruit. The natural thing for the Christian to bear in our lives is fruit, is the fruit of the Spirit. That's natural. That's the natural thing. So the unnatural thing is for us to quench it, to quench the Spirit. And just like a little baby, he's going to grow and grow, and you don't have to do anything about it. I just feed them, feed them and love them, they're going to grow. It's a natural thing to grow. It's a natural thing for us Christians to grow. And if we think that we don't need to grow anymore, then I'm afraid we're shriveling up on the vine. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. What are the attributes, or how do we have this charity that never faileth? Well, it comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Every one of us, we need to have the fruit, each one of these fruit evident. You know, and let's do a self-test in our own life today, in your own mind. Think through these things. Do I love like I need to? You know, do I have that love for my wife or for my husband, my children, for my parents, for my extended family, for my neighbor? Do I have that love like I should? Do I have the joy like I should? You just go through each one of these things. Do I have peace in my life? Am I long-suffering to others? Am I long-suffering with when I'm suffering reproach? Do I have gentleness? Am I gentle? Do I have goodness? Where's my faith, my meekness, temperance? You think through all these things. And I'm sure every one of us, if we were to score ourselves on a 0 to 100%, you know, if we were honest with ourselves, I'm sure we all have to work on these things. But you know what? When we find ourselves not having love like we should, not having joy, peace, long-suffering, why? Is it because we're restricting the Holy Spirit from working in our life? We're not walking with God. We're not getting sin out of our lives. We're quenching the Holy Spirit through different means through sin in our life. And we're not going to be gentle with one another. We're not going to have goodness. We're not going to have faith. Our faith is going to be weak. We're not going to be meek, and we're not going to have temperance. We're going to be always easily agitated or upset. Maybe we don't have that joy like we used to have. You know, life is hard. You know, getting a few hours of sleep a night isn't fun, or working long hours are hard. Every one of you, mother or father, you know, it's hard. Life is difficult sometimes. But when we live it, and when we try to live it in our own strength, we're going to fall flat on our face. And I can tell you my life story is like that, where I thought I had it all figured out, and I thought I knew what was going on, and God just took me and He just put my head right down in the dirt, and He laid me flat on my face, and He said, "Okay, Andrew, now let's see what you can do." You know, and God, He still humbles me, and I hope He still humbles you, and that we all repent when our pride is creeping in our life. But we need Him. Our carnal flesh will not naturally love like we ought to. We're not going to have that charity like we should. We're going to find ourselves angry all the time. We're going to find ourselves getting upset with the littlest things that don't even matter in life. You know, but God wants us to have this fruit of the Spirit evident in our life. Let's see, I had one other passage I wanted to read here, and then we'll be done. Ephesians 5. Let's turn over there real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. Trust this has helped you in some way here tonight. And Ephesians 5, verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. All the fruit is good from the Holy Spirit. There's not any bad fruit from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, I just thank God for His mercy every day, and I thank God for His chastisement. You know, when we get used to living life without God having to chastise us, you know, we need to get on our face and ask God, you know what, Lord, I need to know Your presence. And sometimes His presence comes in rebuke and reproof and chastening. You know, you can say, praise the Lord. I know God is with me. I know He's paying attention to me. I know Him. I'm His child. Why? Because He's dealing with me. And He's changing me. And He's showing me the error of my ways. He's showing me where I need to improve and where I need to grow closer to Him. And God wants us to have these things in our life. God wants us to have charity for one for another. You know, the devil's not going to have any kind of stronghold in our church and in our homes when we have charity as our number one goal, pleasing Him, pleasing God. We're going to have patience for one another like we should. And we're going to have that long suffering for each other. You know what? Well, I don't want to get to the end of my life and, man, I had all my ducks in a row and I had everything perfect, but I lacked in charity. Because, you know, that's the language that speaks across all barriers to people is, you know what? Are you real? Do you really believe do you really believe that book? And so let's pray tonight here, and we're going to be dismissed a word of prayer, and let's ask the Lord to help us the rest of this week to exercise the charity in our lives that we should. Father, we thank you for the evening tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and Lord, I trust something helped someone here tonight, and Lord, I just gave what I had and what I believe you led me to share, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the chastising of you, Lord, and as your heavenly Father, Lord, you love us so much. You don't want to see us go on in our sin and in mistreating people, Lord, unnecessarily, and God, that we have all the tools we need of the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can have that fruit that comes in our life, Lord, that's going to be evident in our actions and in our treatment of one another. And Lord, help our homes to be homes of love and charity towards one another. And God, of course, the discipline and the training, Lord, but I pray that you just overshadow, Lord, our weaknesses. Lord, as we trust you and depend on you for everything, in your name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be dismissed.